The U.S. and Cuba have reached a deal for commercial airlines to begin flying between the two nations, a deal that allows for 30 regular flights a day. Until now, passengers have only been able to travel between the U.S. and Cuba via charter flight. This news comes exactly 1 year after President Obama announced changes to U.S.-Cuba policy, and travel to the island nation is already on the rise and is likely to expand further, which opens up a lot of business opportunities. Brian Rogers has a New York-based startup called Bridges Cuba and will be sending small tour groups there beginning early next year. Brian, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, and how easy is it to set up something like this? What kind of hurdles do you face trying to get a tour company up and running going from the U.S. to Cuba?
Well, there are Cuban laws that you have to kind of figure out how to navigate. Cuba is sort of protectionist about businesses, foreign businesses coming in. And then there's the United States laws, which are brand new and evolving. So it's been tricky to try to make sure that I'm doing everything within the laws of both countries, but it's also an exciting time. There's lots of people on both sides that are sort of pushing for more interaction. So there's a lot of enthusiasm, which I think like helps get around a lot of the legal hurdles.
And one of the legal hurdles is that these still have to be educational trips, right? They can't be just straight up tourism.
Yeah. American citizens have to travel with a sponsoring organization, and Americans have to have an itinerary that includes all educational activities throughout the entire day. So a full-time schedule of educational activities.
So what does that mean? What would one of your trips be like?
Well, we're hoping to house people in casas particulares, which are sort of B&B style rooms for rent in people's homes, which gives you a nice connection to a family as well. And then our tour guides take groups out in the mornings to, say, go on a walking tour of the old city, and then we'll find a place for lunch. And in the afternoon, we'll do other sort of customized activities, whether it's the Colon Cemetery, the old cemetery in Havana, or a trip out to an organic farm outside of the city. There's all sorts of legal activities that fit under the guidelines of educational tourism. So we're sort of building trips as people like them.
It has been a year now since the change in U.S.-Cuba relations. You've been there since then. What have you seen change on the ground in Cuba ever since that change?
Change has been slow, and I've only been to Havana. I haven't been outside of Havana, and I think outside of Havana, not a lot has changed. But within Havana, there's definitely more economic activity. There are more small restaurants, small businesses being opened up. I think the remittances that have been coming from outside of the country, from Miami and other places, have helped provide a certain amount of startup money for people to start businesses. The internet has also improved quite a bit in the last year. Before, you had to pay exorbitant amounts of money to get internet only at hotel lobbies. But now they've opened up a bunch of Wi-Fi hotspots, so you'll be walking down the street in Havana and you get to a random intersection and there are just hundreds of Cubans out with their smartphones, checking their email and chatting with friends in Miami. So that's been the biggest change, I think.
Well, and how much do you think that it will change in the next, let's say, 5 years? There are a lot of people who want to go to Cuba and are trying to figure out how they can do that as a tourist while it's still kind of stuck in this moment in time that it has been for so many years, and they're worried that 5 years from now it's just going to be another Caribbean island, just like the rest of them that have been overrun by tourists.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. You know, people want to get to Cuba before it's spoiled by the Americans or spoiled by the foreigners. But I don't think it is. I think a year out, 5 years out, the Cuban government is going to change slowly, and I think there'll probably be more internet access and there will be more tourists. But, you know, the revolutionary project, the Cuban government itself is going to continue to make sure that they're sort of in control of what's going on and closely following it all. So I think things will change slowly and I think the economy will liberalize a little. But I don't think you're going to see like McDonald's on every corner, even in 5 years or 10 years. I think Cuba is going to get more and more interesting as it opens up to the world. And I think it's definitely a place to see now or 5 or 10 years. But I don't think change is going to be too rapid.
Why did you decide to get into this business, to try to get people on these tours to Cuba?
I've I went to Cuba as a student. I went to Cuba for the first time when I was 19, and I was just sort of curious because I was sort of politically inclined and ended up having a great time there. And so I've gone back quite a bit over the years. I think for Cuban people to have better lives down there, I think it's important for Cuba to open up to the outside world in the most healthy way possible. And I think you want a tourism that is healthy for Cuba. And in order to do that, you have to have some sort of context around it. So I think as an American who's been there a lot and understands a little bit about the Cuban context, I wanted to just sort of be an intermediary to help people interpret and understand what's gone on there for the past 60 years since it's been so isolated.
Brian Rogers, who has a startup called Bridges Cuba. It's going to be sending small tour groups to Cuba starting early next year. Brian, thanks so much.
Thank you.